Welcome to The Gift of Grace with Phil Gigliotti and Stephen Garchar. The Gift of Grace is a program where we read and teach God's Word, proclaiming the kingdom and salvation in Jesus the Messiah. And now, here's your host, Phil Gigliotti and Stephen Garchar.
Well, good evening, everyone, and welcome to The Gift of Grace on the Word 1220. This is Phil Gigliotti here with my good friend Stephen Garchar.
Hi, Phil. How are you doing this evening?
Great.
Good to be back here again with you on another Sunday evening.
Another great Sunday, during Advent.
Yeah, a couple weeks before the birth of Jesus.
Exciting. And I think it's, you know, if you were with us last week, and where else would you have been? But for the three of you that were here last week, you know, we talked about how this was a great Advent, such a great time of preparation for the birth of the Messiah.
It is.
You can call it Christmas because that has a holy origin. You can call it the Nativity, which that has a holy origin. And when we think about it, unfortunately, the word Christmas has been pretty secularized in most places, but it has ancient Christian origin as well as Nativity. So it's a great way to realize that Christmas isn't just something that you do and then it's done. It's something that you should be prepared for to commemorate an unbelievable time when God enters time, enters our place where we live. Yeah. And the God who is eternal and transcends time comes into time in a way that we'll never understand.
Well, you know, as you were saying that, I was thinking, you know, what word has God not spoken that the devil has not tried to pervert?
Yes.
God speaks a word, it's truth, and it's going to go out and accomplish the will for which he sent it. But the devil will always try to twist that word. Always making counterfeits. And as the body of believers, as those who follow Jesus Christ, as Christians, we have to be aware of that.
Yes.
Just because somebody attacks something doesn't mean that, oh, gosh, that's bad.
Yeah.
You know, you have to understand the origin of where it came from.
Yes.
And if you don't understand the origin of where it came from, you know, it's easy for people to be led astray because I know we've said this many times on the show, but formation of our conscience, formation of our faith is very important.
Mm-hmm.
You just don't, you know, in the early believers, catechesis was primary.
Yes, absolutely.
Because you're dealing with sacred mysteries that they experienced firsthand. And they passed this on down through from generation to generation, even to our time. But to understand all that and have good formation of what you believe and why you believe it is paramount.
Yes.
You can't just stop with a little bit and go, okay, well, that's enough, and I'm just going to stick with that.
Yes. Yeah, and that comes, I mean, we've talked about this and we've both experienced this, going to churches where people seem to be totally unfamiliar with the scriptures, unfamiliar with the basic tenets of Christianity.
Basics, yeah.
But, you know, it's the I love Jesus, he loves me, let's have a nice time for an hour and a quarter and then go out to eat, which now seems to be Christianity in America.
Mm-hmm.
And I was... I was listening to a talk show the other day on, I can't remember what radio station it was, but they had, it was two guys talking about, you know, the postmodern period and post-Christian period and how terrible this is and kind of like what we talk about, you know, darkness coming in.
Yeah.
And somebody called into the show from Paraguay. And he says,
wow.
Yeah, from Paraguay, who spoke perfect English. And he said, I don't know how things are in the States and in Europe, but down here, the churches are packed. Every denomination, everybody's on fire for the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
The Holy Spirit revival's breaking out all around and we're having an awesome time. So if you guys aren't having that, gee, I feel bad for you. And I thought, well, you know,
you know, if you really think about it, we have a lot of possessions here.
Yeah.
And a lot of money and a lot of possessions insulates us from the need for God because we can tend to take care of ourselves.
Yeah.
But when that's stripped away and you don't have a good foundation, I mean, you're going to be swept away like the sand on a shore of a beach during a storm.
Yes.
So, there are lots of places where there is revival taking place.
Latin America, Africa. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And we're seeing, you know, Europe and North America.
Things fall by the wayside, yeah.
But that's not what we're going to talk about today. Today we're going to talk about one of my favorite minor prophets.
Isaiah?
No. Isaiah's
minor prophets.
Yeah. Isaiah's got 66 chapters.
Major
he's got his
prophet,
own scroll.
Yeah.
Own scroll. Now, if you got your own scroll, you know you've made the big time.
Big time, yeah.
This is a guy who's got three chapters.
Wait, seriously?
Three.
Say what?
Yeah, three chapters.
Seriously?
If I wrote it all in one day.
Oh,
no, we don't mean that. Every prophet is important. Minor only means, and boy, I'm sure you all, I'm
you're
sure
you're going to have to answer some questions when you get up.
I'm sure you three people that are listening know this, but a major and minor doesn't mean how important they were. It means how much they wrote.
Oh, okay.
So, you know, those guys like Isaiah and Jeremiah and Ezekiel and Daniel, they wrote a lot of stuff.
But they can't boast.
They can't boast.
Yeah.
But Zephaniah, you know, three measly chapters. But anyway. But, and I wanted to pick this because, number one, it's a reading in the churches this week. And number two, it's the lyrics to one of our favorite songs,
what
which Steve can sing, but I can't sing it, but I love the song. And it's called Roni Roni. That means rejoice, rejoice. Woo.
Do we know who wrote that?
I do. Well, I don't know who wrote it. I don't know if Paul Wilbur wrote it or not, but Paul Wilbur does the most famous version of it by far. And the book of Zephaniah is interesting because in chapter 3, and we're going to have Steve read verses 14 through 17, which are basically the lyrics of the song. And if you go on YouTube and search for Roni Roni, that's R-O-N-I, I'm sure somewhere on YouTube there's a video of Paul Wilbur singing it. It's a pretty cool song, and you learn some Hebrew while you listen to it. And it has a very important lesson to it that we're going to talk about briefly before the time runs out. So, Steve, why don't you read Zephaniah 3, 14 through 17?
Okay. Shout for joy, daughter Zion. Sing joyfully, Israel. Be glad and exult with all your heart, daughter Jerusalem. The Lord has removed the judgment against you. He has turned away your enemies. The King of Israel, the Lord, is in your midst. You have no further misfortune to fear. On that day it shall be said to Jerusalem, do not fear, Zion. Do not be discouraged. The Lord your God is in your midst, a mighty Savior who will rejoice over you with gladness and renew in you his love, who will sing joyfully because of you as on festival days.
Wow. I wish we could do the song, but then our time will be up.
I know.
So isn't this amazing? Now, this is, you know, 500 and something BC. And again, the setting of it is, it's around the time of the Babylonian exile, but the setting is a covenant of law. But here he's talking about the Lord your God is in your midst, and he's going to do some awesome stuff.
Yeah.
And if you read through this, you see that he's going to promise to forgive. He's going to forgive sin. He's going to make people joyful.
You know, as you're saying that, I just realized I missed the last part of the verse 18. It says, who will sing joyfully because of you, as on festival days, I will remove disaster from among you so that no one may recount your disgrace.
Woo.
That's the end of it. Yeah.
Yeah. Woo. So it's going to make people joyful because their sin's going to be forgiven.
Mm-hmm.
And it's going to be comfort to Jerusalem, and it's comfort to us because we have the comfort of the gospel. And when you realize what makes people, you know, what makes people forgiven, what makes people, quote, holy, also makes them joyful. Like when you find out your sins are forgiven, that makes you pretty happy.
Mm-hmm.
And
yeah.
you may not even realize that you were sad, but now you have a different feeling when you realize I was actually kind of sad before.
Yeah. You have a whole different perspective.
Yeah. And so it leads you to rejoicing and singing.
Mm-hmm.
So the prophet, under inspiration of the Holy Spirit, of course, like every prophet, says there should be singing and shouting about this. You shouldn't just be happy and say, gee, I'm really glad my sin's forgiven. And yeah, sure worked out pretty well. You should be not just feeling like you know, neutral or good about yourself, there should be shouting, singing, and there should be great joy. He says, you should rejoice with all your heart. That's pretty
true.
Exciting.
That's true.
There should be like unrestrained joy. And you know, what should that joy be about? It's because sin is going to be forgiven.
Yeah.
Grace is going to come.
Yeah. I mean, see, we didn't live in this time under the law that we would have to keep all 613 laws.
Right. Exactly.
We didn't live in the, you know, in the time where these burdens were being heaped upon us. We live in a time of grace.
Yes.
So our perspective is very different. Very different from, you know, somebody who's been incarcerated, maybe for something they did or maybe for something they didn't do, versus someone who's never been incarcerated.
Mm-hmm.
You can never have the same perspective as that other person. So you don't know, you don't know what it's like when somebody says, you're set free.
Yeah.
You can go now. I can? Yeah. What about all, it's all forgiven. It's your time is up, or your sentence is up.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, you, for somebody who's never been there can never understand that.
Yeah.
But where sin is, you know, with sin, if you deny that you've ever committed a sin, or you don't acknowledge that you have sinned, you're in the same position.
Yes.
Well, I don't need that. I'm a good person. You know, I haven't done any, I haven't killed anybody.
I'm not as bad as that guy over there.
I'm not. Yeah. If you, you know, and we all do. We all justify it.
Yes.
But when the reality comes, when you're confronted with the holiness of God, and God gets a hold of you, and you see the truth of God, it places your perspective in a right position.
Mm-hmm.
Where you go, oh my gosh,
mm-hmm.
Wow, I did that.
Yes.
And that's offensive to God.
Yes.
I did that. And but God will always bring you to a place of reconciliation.
Mm-hmm.
If it's condemnation, it's not from the Lord. But if it's an opportunity to reconcile with God, that's from the Holy
yes.
Spirit. That's from God.
Yes.
And this is what God's doing through the prophet Zephaniah. He's telling the people, shout for joy, daughter Zion. Sing joyfully, Israel, and be glad and exult with all your heart, because the Lord has removed the judgment against you, and he has turned away your enemies.
Mm-hmm.
You're free.
Yes. And if you were living then, you know, in ancient Israel, you were only joyful if you were keeping all of the law. And by that, and you were so overwhelmed by all that you wouldn't be joyful. You would just be like,
the drudgery.
Okay, I think I did okay.
Yeah.
I think I did okay today. Yeah, I'm doing a lot better than I did last year. And now you have the judgment is removed. The punishment is taken away. And so this is what we have this unrestrained joy about. And as, you know, even in our time, as we're not under the law and we're not, for the most part, we're all Gentiles that are listening to this. Steve and I are Gentiles, but you could be a very joyful Gentile, even though you didn't experience the bondage that was in Israel, because we had a bondage to sin.
Like Cornelius.
We had a bondage to sin that now is removed. But since they were in a covenant of law, and it says that God is going to do this, this is a messianic prophecy, amazingly, because nowhere in the law does God say, don't worry about violating the law, I'm going to take care of it for you. But here he does.
That's
he's going
true.
To take care of the violation, and he's going to deliver us from it. He's going to cast out sin. And I was reading a commentary the other night about this, and it says that the Hebrew words there mean it's the sin's like swept out of your house. Like it's swept out like you sweep dirt out of your house.
Mm-hmm.
It's like gets away from you because you sweep it. God sweeps it away, which is pretty neat. And it even talks about how he's going to be in their midst. And then later, Jesus, in his physical earthly life, was literally in their midst.
Yeah.
He's always in our midst. But then he was physically in your midst, walking around. So when you went to Starbucks or you went to Denny's, he might be sitting in there. I mean, he was physically in your midst. And, you know, that's even a messianic prophecy. And it says he's the king of Israel. Yeah. Now, God's always present with his people, and, you know, obviously, spiritually, he's always present, but then he was also physically present, and he says he's going to save you from disaster, which is spiritual disaster.
Mm-hmm.
You're not going to necessarily, you know, contrary to what the health and wealth people say, you're not going to necessarily be delivered from things that happen to you, like illnesses or some financial misfortune or whatever. But spiritually, you're definitely delivered from disaster. So don't be afraid.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. The, you know, even Jesus says, don't be afraid of the one who can kill you physically. Be afraid of the one who can kill you spiritually.
Yeah.
There's two realms, the physical realm and the spiritual realm. And what we're dealing with is the principalities of heaven, you know, spiritual.
Mm-hmm.
These are spiritual matters.
Yes.
And sin leads to decay of the soul. Maybe the body.
Mm-hmm. But, well, that's why we all die.
But definitely decay of the soul, because our soul is, you know, our soul is going to last forever.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, we're human beings are made up of body and soul. There's, you know, we're going to have a glorified body when we get to heaven, mm-hmm. when, you know, on the last day. But we can't become something else.
Right.
I mean, we can't become an angel, because we always have a soul and we always have a body.
Yeah.
Angels don't have that.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
As you're saying that, the Jesus comes to deliver us from the spiritual death,
mm-hmm.
and to free us from that eternal damnation if we don't turn from our sin mm-hmm. and follow God.
Yes. It says, so don't be afraid. I mean, it's hard for us not to be afraid, but he says, don't be afraid.
The angels would always say that.
You know, he saved his people from the exile that was coming when this mm-hmm. was written, and he saves us from our exile and sin. And this is, you know, like the gospel says, there's more joy in heaven for one sinner that repents than the 99 who don't have to repent, at least right this minute. And, you know, the idea that he's so joyful also goes back to the idea that's really powerfully described in the book, The Song of Songs, or The Song of Solomon, which is a book that really changed my whole life 10 years or so ago. But, you know, we're the bride of Christ, and he is so joyful. And, you know, it says he's mighty to save. You know, he's so joyful, it says that he sings over us while we're being saved. He sings over us. And so the mighty one of Israel is going to save us, and he's going to be singing while he's doing it.
Yeah.
So don't be afraid. I mean, the idea that he would sing over us in the pathetic situation that we live in is awesome.
Yeah. It's incredible.
Yeah. And I love this because, you know, in its Old Testament context, this is not what the books of the law tell you about. But here he's explaining how God is going to come in the midst of you, and he's going to save you. He's going to deliver you from the punishment and the judgment.
Mm-hmm.
He's going to sweep the sin out of your life, and he's going to sing while he's doing it.
Yeah.
That's pretty awesome.
That's pretty awesome. That's pretty awesome.
Yeah. In the book, The Song of Songs, which if you go to the Gift of Grace website, there's a whole teaching on it that's both written and oral, but audio. But, you know, the groom says to the bride, which is a example of Jesus talking to the church, you know, says, he says, I'm happy if you just glance at me. In fact, he wants our love so much that he's happy even if we just look at him for a minute,
mm-hmm.
let alone if we keep our eyes fixed on him.
Yeah.
And so this idea of singing over us is really important, because we tend to see the judge, which he is the judge, and people worry about some people worry about wrath a little too much, and some people don't worry about it at all.
Yeah.
So, which neither extreme is good.
Yeah. Well, that's true. You know, as you're saying that, people can not see God as a loving father because they don't, because they see the judgment, they see the wrath.
Yeah.
They've heard about it. But you're missing, you're also missing that he sent us his son.
Mm-hmm.
As it said, as we said last week, a son is given for you. You know, a son is given for us.
Yes.
So out of love, God sends his son to redeem us.
Mm-hmm.
And this, you know, this act of love, we, God's all holy and nothing that is defiled or with sin can be before him.
Right.
So when we turn from our sinfulness and we follow him with our whole heart and we gaze upon him, he gazes back upon us.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he's always gazing upon us,
mm-hmm.
you know, and he loves us so much that we can't even fathom to understand it, actually.
Yes.
You know.
We can't understand it.
Yeah.
I mean, we don't even like somebody who's done something to offend us.
Yeah.
I mean, let alone love them. We don't even like them anymore.
Yeah.
In fact, we may hate the person after that.
Yeah, that's true.
I mean, how many times, and I mean, everybody says it. I say it sometimes, you know, and sometimes you mean it, sometimes you don't. And you say, oh, I hate that guy. Because let me tell you what he did 10 years ago.
But to God, he created that person.
Yes.
And he awaits their return.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. And I think it's so cool that in verse 17, he says, the mighty one will save and he's going to rejoice. So you're supposed to rejoice because you're being forgiven and your judgment's being taken away. But the mighty one rejoices because he's taking your sin away.
Yeah. Who will rejoice over you with gladness and renew you.
Yes.
In his love.
Yes.
I mean, and as much as we've talked on the show about stuff, it's God's love that renews us.
Yes.
You know, I'll never forget the day when I experienced the depth of God's love, when I actually felt that love of God from the, you know, through my whole being.
Mm-hmm.
It was transformative.
Mm-hmm.
With time, that can tend to fade.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's in the past, you know, it's something that happened in the past, but it's not, but it doesn't diminish it.
Right.
So if I think about that moment, everything's brand new.
Mm-hmm.
Everything's joyful.
Yes.
It's like, oh my gosh.
It's
wow.
Literally brand new. You know, Paul says we become a new creation.
Yeah. And it says, and he's going to renew you in his love.
Yeah. And under the law, you can't really be a new creation because you just got to follow the law.
Yeah.
But with the mighty one, you know, saving you and sweeping sin out of your life and renewing you,
mm-hmm.
you in fact are a new creation and you in fact have a whole different set of emotions than you did, you know, even the minute before that happened.
Yeah.
And I think, you know, I'm sure most of you listening can remember a time when that happened.
Mm-hmm.
And I certainly do and you certainly do. And thinking back on it, it's, you don't feel the full intensity of it, but sometimes, you know, you get new infillings of that.
Right.
That remind you, whoa.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes they happen in the weirdest places or unexpected places.
Yeah.
Or
that's true.
Yeah.
That's true. I'm thinking about this one story. You know, I was on a retreat and my wife and I were on a retreat and the retreat master was telling a little story. He goes, you know, it's like God's salvation is like this. He goes, there's a brother and sister who are playing upstairs and the brother, you know, plays a, you know, a trick on the sister and you know, she's crying and she calls out for daddy and the brother's up there, you know, laughing and she hears the dad go, I'm coming upstairs. To her, salvation is coming. To him, judgment is coming.
Yeah, that's a good point. Whoa, is that the music already?
That is.
Well, I really encourage you to go on YouTube and search for Roni Roni,
yes.
R-O-N-I, and listen to Paul Wilbur sing this song.
Exactly.
I hope you've had an awesome Lord's Day.
And we just pray as we continue in this season of Advent that we too would rejoice, for our sin has been forgiven, just as the nation of Israel, their sin has been forgiven. God bless everyone. Have a great week.
You've been listening to The Gift of Grace with Phil Giliotti and Stephen Garchar. Phil and Steve will be back next week when they will once again teach God's Word, proclaiming the kingdom and salvation in Jesus the Messiah, right here on AM 1220, The Word. Thanks and God bless.